Hey, everybody, and welcome to another True Stories of Tinseltown. And I hope all are well and healthy and staying safe. But I have a really nice podcast for us today, and I have a wonderful guest, Lori Jacobson. Hi, Lori.
Hi.
How are you? Lori was
Hi,
on
Grace.
Before. We had such a great time when we talked about your other book that I adore, Dishing Hollywood. And
yes,
Lori and I became we're pen pals, you know, we're email pals. We became pals through it. And we talked about wonderful things like Lassie's Merkin, and it was so much fun. I had a great time.
Oh, that's right.
The tidbits. That was such a juicy one. Everybody loved that. I don't think anyone knew that. Anyway, Lori has...
You tend to bring those juicy stories out because you are so knowledgeable that I really have to dig deep to come up with something you didn't know.
No, I didn't know. That's wonderful. And you told me a lot of stuff I didn't know, which was juicy. Yes. Okay, so we have Lori, and Lori has written a new book, and it's called TV Dinners, Classic TV Stars Dish Up Favorite Recipes with a Side of Memories. And I have to say, Lori sent me the book, and I loved it. It is a perfect book for today, these times, you know, because we like our comfort food. Some people like meatloaf. Some people like mashed potatoes and macaroni and cheese or burritos, whatever. This is like a class. This is like a comfort book, I think, Lori. You know, it's such a nice book. It's not negative. It's got a couple of recipes. It gives, and it kind of reunites us with our old TV friends, which is fun. We get to catch up with them.
Yes, yes, absolutely. It's a reunion.
I loved
it. The people we grew up with, truly.
It really is. It's like you read about it, and it's fun. You do the menus like you did in Dishing Hollywood, but you have their childhood memories of their favorite foods and the diners or the places they went to. And then they give you recipes as they are now adults. So you not only get memories and great pictures and nostalgia up the wazoo, you also get some good recipes that I would like to cook, but I'd rather have somebody cook it for me because I really don't like cooking. So, but the recipes, some of them look really delish. But what gave you the idea to do this book? Lori, I'm going to mention, is married to the wonderful John Provost, who was Timmy.
Timmy
and Lassie and Timmy. And Timmy was a cutie. Oh, my God. I'm looking at the pictures of him. What a cutie pie. What a cutie pie.
He was an adorable child.
Oh, my.
He is an adorable man.
He is. I also saw that he went on the dating game. What a hoot.
Yeah, that's one of the few. That's one of the few things he did that we can't find.
Oh, I wish you could.
So
that would be a riot. Yeah.
Yes. If anybody has any contacts with the dating game, please call me.
That would be wonderful.
To see that.
That would be so cute.
I know he didn't. He wasn't picked. I do know that.
Oh, I thought he was a bachelor. So a bachelorette had to come in and pick one of the three.
That's right.
Oh my goodness! And he wasn't picked. I'm outraged. I'm outraged.
You know.
Yeah, he's your hobby.
At least you know it wasn't fixed.
Right. That's for sure. But you know all these people through John, and you are friends with them now.
Yes. Yes. And I, you know, as a side business, which I don't know if that will ever come back, but I was booking all of these guys at autograph shows.
Oh, how
and
fun.
Comic cons. Yes, really fun.
And it's just so
really
nice
fun.
For everybody
so
to
I
get
got
together.
To know them.
Mm.
Yes. Yes. You know, because these guys were working, you know, when I was little and watching these shows, I never really thought of it as work. It just all seemed so natural because they were all such good little actors.
Yeah. And it just but seemed like they were the Beaver or Timmy or Wally or Lumpy or Eddie Haskell. You know, they all just seemed like it, you know, as a kid.
You know, and back then we didn't, you know, we were kind of naive to acting and Hollywood. And I really never thought much about what they did when they weren't on the set, until I started with, you know, Tiger Beat and 16 Magazine and actually saw them in public, I never really thought about it. And, you know, when I wrote John's autobiography with him, and it was then that I began to realize that, you know, 60 people were coming to work every day and counting on that little guy to know his lines and to be prepared and not to be sick. In 7 years, he only missed one day of work, you know. So they really carried a tremendous amount of responsibility on their young shoulders. And it just gives me even more respect for them and the work they left behind that we so enjoy to this day.
Oh, I watched Leave It to Beaver and certain shows. I love it. I was just watching Andy Griffith. I like, you know, there's certain pick and choose things I like to watch, certain episodes that I'll watch over and over again. And because it's like your book, Comfort, Comfort TV, Comfort Food, Comfort Book. And this is, I really enjoyed it. And you had the foreword. It was Paul Peterson, who is actually, he looks fabulous. And he started something to protect children.
Yes, he was really among the first of the child actors to look around and see that some of his peers were floundering after the telephone stopped ringing. You know, they were really, they were slighted on their education, and they weren't really trained to do anything else. And, you know, suddenly they weren't cute anymore, and they had a real difficult time, and there was nothing for them, no place for them to turn. Even their union, the Screen Actors Guild, didn't know what to say or do with them. So as some of them got in trouble, Paul recognized this fact, and he started this wonderful organization called A Minor Consideration that benefits all working children. He campaigned and got laws changed both in California and nationally. There were far more rules about how to treat Lassie on the set of my husband's show.
Lassie, you know, probably got paid more than June Lockhart, right?
I have a feeling. You know, as my husband says, that the name of the show was Lassie. So, you know.
Lassie got a lot of steaks. Yeah.
Yeah. Lassie ate very well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Paul formed this wonderful organization, A Minor Consideration, and he is kind of the godfather of all the kid stars. They all revere him for that, and he is just so beloved in that community.
I believe it. You know, he really championed them and champions them.
Yes.
No one spoke out about it like he did, and he, you know, he just did wonderful things and is doing wonderful things.
So a portion of my profits go to A Minor Con. And because of that fact, I didn't have one person hesitate to contribute to the book, because we all love Paul and we all love A Minor Con. So 40 people cooperated with me and gave me their wonderful memories and their dishes. And it was truly a labor of love. It was so much fun.
Yeah, and it was, like I said, fun to read and interesting. Maybe we should start with Paul, because he was in the Donna Reed Show, and he started very young. He and Shelley Fabares with Donna Reed and Carl Betts. I really don't know that show so much. I don't believe they actually played it on Nick or TV Land. So I'm not really familiar. But I do know Shelley Fabares, and I do know Paul. And he had basically a good experience working on the show.
Oh, yeah. You know, and he worked on that show for years. You know, his home life wasn't that great. Carl Betts was like a second father to him. And Donna, I mean, oh, the way he talks about Donna. You know, he'll love her forever. It was an amazing experience for him. I think he was on the show until he started at 12. I think he was on it until he was about 20, which is really amazing. And he and Shelley both became pop stars recording songs, you know. That's that was the trend then, if you were popular on a popular kid on a TV show. Well, everybody was copying Ricky Nelson, I think. You know,
did his brother sing or just Ricky? His brother didn't do anything? David?
No. David, no, he didn't sing.
He acted, though. He did some good stuff.
Oh, yeah. David, and then he was very big behind the scenes as a producer later on. So he was a really nice man, too. And that is the thing about this generation. You know, they didn't get the big Friends salaries. The only way they really knew they were popular was their amount of fan mail. They were all down-to-earth, level-headed, nice people. You know, they never got big egos and, you know, and the beautiful thing is it was a small group of people, and they are all still friends today. It's like they were in a fraternity, and only they know what it was really like. And that's something they will share forever, and it bonds them throughout their life.
I think that's so nice, and they have that support and friendship and love, and you see it and you feel it when you read the book, because they have remained friends, and it's just cute to see them together. So Paul, I didn't even know this. His little sister joined the cast, I guess. She was adopted on the show. His
yes.
little sister did. And he was also, I didn't know you worked for Tiger Beat and all that stuff. How fun. That scoops. Wasn't he like a teen idol as well?
Oh, absolutely.
He was
absolutely.
A cutie. He still is.
Yeah. He was very handsome. He still is. He still is very handsome.
But it all dried up for him. I am a big fan of 70s TV movies of the week, and I can catch him on YouTube. And I caught him in one, Gidget Grows Up, and he played Moondoggy. And I call him,
yes.
When I see him, I call him Swoondoggy. He was so cute. And Karen Valentine played Gidget. And it was, you know, and it was so cute to see him. He was really cute. So I really don't know. Did he want to continue to act, or did he just kind of get sick of it?
No, he wanted to. I mean, that was all he knew. And as you said, things dried up. He tells this amazing story. There were first of all, he married young, and his beautiful wife ran off with Bill Bixby.
Oh, no. Was he married to Brenda Benet, that gorgeous woman?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yes. It was Brenda, who later took her life,
yes.
Which was a really sad thing. So Brenda leaves him. There are these huge rainstorms in L.A., and this hillside behind his house collapses in the rain, and his house has now 3 feet of mud in it. His wife is gone. The show is over. He can't get work. He is sitting there like, what the hell am I going to do now? And of all people, Mickey Rooney came over. Mickey Rooney, who had been through the same thing.
Yeah.
And he said, Paul, you have to leave. They won't respect you if you stay in town. You have to leave and do something else and come back. And he said, I wish somebody had been there to give me that advice. So Paul moved to the East Coast. He wrote 17 books.
Wowza.
And, you know, had a new career for himself. And then, you know, a minor consideration was formed during that time, and then he came back. You know, a healthy, mentally healthy, and physically healthy person, and rejoined Hollywood. So I just, you know,
he prospered and he remarried, and he's been married for years, right?
Yes.
And he has a lovely wife.
He's very happy.
I'm so glad. And he deserves it. He was very young. She was very young. And that Bill Bixby, that little devil. All right. All right. So your book is like, we start from the 50s, go to the 60s, go to the 70s. So I'm going to talk about a couple of the 50s that I know, because a lot of them I don't. Plus, you want people to read the book, so we're not going to talk about everybody, obviously. So I want to talk about Leave It to Beaver, which I love. I laugh still at it. I think they were adorable. It had an incredible cast. Jerry Mathers was a riot, and so was adorable. What's his name? My boyfriend.
What, Tony Dow?
Tony Dow, yes.
Wally, I know. I still secretly have a huge crush on him.
He was so cute.
He is a really handsome man, too.
And he has those beautiful eyes.
Yes, and his hair is beautiful. Oh, my God, he's so handsome and so nice. Again, both of them are so great. I really love them both.
Yeah, and it was so nice to see them. You see them as the kiddies, and you see how they got involved. I loved also... You know, after they did it, they had June, they had Ward, and they had Eddie Haskell, who was deceased. When did he die? Maybe 5 years ago or something? But he was getting back into it.
That was Frank Bank, who played Lumpy. Frank passed away probably about 5 years ago.
Mm.
And but Ken Osmond, who is Eddie Haskell, he is still with us.
He is?
Although he... Yeah, he is. He's not doing that great.
Oh, but I loved it. He was the funniest.
Lifelong smoker.
Eek.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing, you know, that's the other thing, you know, in a time before the world was so connected through social media, these characters connected us. So, you know, of a certain age of person, you could turn to them and say, that guy is such an Eddie Haskell type. And they know exactly what you mean.
And today, people know what you mean, because my stepdaughter and I would watch these shows together on Nick at Night and TV Land, and she got hooked on them. She was a little kid, and she knows all these things. She knows I Love Lucy and Leave It to Beaver and Jeannie and Bewitched and all those shows that they played. She loved them all. And, you know, she knows if you say an Eddie Haskell or a Lumpy... which was a riot,
yeah.
And Fred Rutherford, but whatever happened, I've got to ask about this. This is such a big mystery. Whatever happened to Larry Mondello? I don't remember his name in real life.
And I'm sorry, I don't know his name either. I do know that in the last, I would say, in the last 2 years, he reached out to Jerry and contacted him
How
again.
How cool. But he hadn't for years and years and years, right?
No. Correct. Yeah, I think they said his family moved. I think the story was that his family moved from Los Angeles. And, you know, you're a kid. You're a working kid. So that was that. He never saw him again. It's not like they became pen pals.
Right.
You know?
That's a shame, and, but I'm glad to hear that he'd reached out to him. I think that's great.
Yeah, and, you know, that's part of it. You know, the bond is always there.
Yeah.
And you know, Jerry was delighted to hear from him.
I am so glad that they did, because they were so funny together. Also, what was interesting to me was that Tony Dow had three options at the time. He could play boy in Tarzan. There was another one I don't really remember. Or it can be Wally. But his mother, which I found it fascinating, was Clara Bow's understudy.
Yes. Yeah.
And one of the first stunt women in Hollywood.
Yes. Yeah, they were, you know, many of the kids who found their way into show business came from parents who found their way into show business in some way.
But I read in your book, you say that the mother wasn't really really keen on him going into television or film or whatever, because he was he was a champion swimmer. And
and diver too.
That's why they want him for boy, I guess. I'm glad he didn't become
probably.
Boy.
Yeah. I mean, oh yeah, he was, you know, he was gorgeous.
Oh,
swimmers have such great shoulders and, you know, and funnily enough, it was over dinner with Tony and his wife, Lauren, that John and I discovered that he was up for the part of boy, because John was also up for the part of boy. And quite a difference. Tony's 5 years older,
right?
You know, was a real athlete. So I guess they didn't know what they wanted to do: go with a tiny little guy that would grow into the part, or go with the athletic guy. But anyway, fortunately,
neither of them.
both of them made the right decision, because that show only ran a year.
Yeah, and do you really want to be boy for the rest of your life? You know,
John's mother said the reason she turned it down was because she thought he would catch a cold being so underdressed most of the time.
Well, good. That was a good choice. Sounds good, even though he was always underdressed swimming. So good choice, Mom. Wink, wink. Anyway, they're still in the business pretty much. And he directed a lot. Tony Dow. I also read that he did a lot of acting after. Jerry Mathers, he was always involved in the community. And then he got involved. They did another, right? What was his it was sort of like a up-to-date At Home with Beaver or something. And they were married and they had kids. And June was in it. And she looked incredible, as usual. But I don't think she was wearing pearls.
They were very close to her.
Yeah.
Very close to her, and remained close to her whole life long.
Yeah, so they did the show together, and I don't know, she must have been in her 80s. She looked fabulous, her late 70s. And also, at that time, I know that, I don't think Lumpy went back on, but I know that Eddie Haskell, I can't think of his name in real life, I hate this.
Ken Osmond.
Yeah, he was a cop for years, and then he ended up quitting being a cop and joined the show. And I read that he and Jerry Mathers were really, really close friends.
Yes, because one of Jerry's brothers is a police officer as well. And Ken was shot 3 times.
Oh, my God.
At one go, not 3 separate times.
Yikes.
In the line of duty. And that was the turning point for him.
I don't blame him.
So, yeah. He's really so lucky. I mean, he had on a vest. Mm-hmm. Two hit his vest. And the third hit this big belt buckle that he was wearing, and the force had just switched to smaller belt buckles, but he really liked the big one, and it saved his life.
Thank goodness.
Because that was under the vest, so it hit the big fat belt buckle, and he went home.
He did his Eddie Pascal rebellion, keeping on that big buckle, bucking the system, which helped him live, which I think is great. But these guys, like you said, Tony looks incredible. He was directing. I believe he also wrote. He writes as well.
Yes, and he produced. He produced a couple of specials on Child Stars. And he's also an award-winning sculptor.
Yeah, I saw some of his work. It's great. He lives by you, don't he? He's more Northern California, isn't he?
No, he's in Topanga Canyon in Los Angeles, where he's been for many, many years.
Yes. And how about Jerry? Jerry, I know, became heavy. He got diabetes, and he lost the weight. Now he does a lot of work for that association.
Yes, he's a representative. Yeah, he's a representative for the National Diabetes Association. And, you know, his adult recipe in TV dinners takes that into consideration. And, you know, a lot of the boomers have health issues as we got older.
Yes.
So, you know, so some of the adult recipes take that and give you healthy alternatives.
Right. Gluten-free.
His is a healthy alternative fried chicken.
Yes, baked chicken, fried chicken. And he does that. And he said that his favorite thing to do was get blueberry pie when he was young, although so many of them love chili dogs. There was a lot of Wonder Bread in the book. That Wonder Bread.
Yeah.
And I had this when I was a kid. Marshmallow fluff and peanut butter on Wonder Bread.
Really? Did you really?
Yes. Ugh. I loved it then. I know if I even took a bite of it, I would probably, I would probably retch. Probably. Yuck. But there are so many different things. And their kid stuff is cute. You know, hot fudge sundaes, hot dogs, just stuff. But the older recipes, you know, they do look yummy. But like I said, I'd want someone to cook them for me because I hate to cook. But they are yummy. Anyway, you look at them. Another one that I loved are these sisters, the Cartwright sisters. I love both of them, especially, I have to say, Veronica, because she is amazing. She was, you know, I never watched The X-Files, and I saw her on it, and she looked great. She looks fabulous in the pictures. And then they have cute pictures of them when they were young, she and her sister, and Angela. And they came from England with their mom when they were little kids. Who knew? I didn't know. And they were tea and crumpets kind of kids. And I love the one picture of them with their mother. And the two of them, Veronica's obviously much older. She got 2 or 3 years on Angela?
Yeah, I think so. Something like that.
My mother did it too. I think it was a thing. They dress their daughters in the same dress, even though they're a couple of years apart. And, you know, like stupid people would say, to my sister is a couple of years apart from me, and I'm tall and whatever. And they say, are you two twins? I'm like, God, you're dumb. They're twins, please. Really dumb. So it made me laugh to see them dressed in the same clothes, and they were just adorable. But Veronica, what an actress. The Children's Hour.
Yes, I think she's very underrated. She's brilliant.
And she's still working. But she is, as a child actress, her in The Children's Hour as that bullied kid. It's a wonderful movie, and she is just great in it. And then you get her in The Birds. She's so good
in
that.
Right, in The Birds.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, she was really good. Really good from the get-go.
Yeah, she had a lot of talent.
She wasn't skating by on being cute. You know, which Angela did, I think, in the beginning. But, God, she was only three when she started the Danny Thomas show. You know, so what much can you do at three besides be adorable?
And there is a very adorable picture of her on that. And also they have, you know, what they're doing now. But Veronica, she was in the remake of the Invasion of the Body Snatcher. She was the best part of the movie to me. If I watch it, I like the original better, but I thought she and Jeff Goldblum were great, and especially her. And then, of course, Angela was in Lost in Space with Will Robinson.
Yes.
And she became a teenager, and I think she was, you know, I think little boys thought she was pretty cute. And she worked with Billy Mummy, who was also doing that, who was an amazing child actor. Amazing.
Yes, and they are really best friends to this day.
And that's so nice. Did she move back to England?
Here's some. Here's something you probably don't know.
Tell me,
they
please.
Were an item. They were an item for a little while.
When was this?
She got to gasp. I made her gasp.
Holy.
Yeah, they were an item for a short while, and now are, you know, truly just best friends. They write books together. They did, you know. They probably talk every day.
Yeah.
They're so close.
And he also does music and writes a lot of music. And when were they an item?
I'm not exactly sure of the dates. It had to be post.
Yeah, because they were kids. Oh, he's younger than her, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so
yes,
there was one
is.
Of these younger man, older women romances, too. Oh, the scandal. I love it.
But they've both been very happily married for a very long time, and our grandparents, and
they look fabulous.
And Angela is so multi-talented; it's unbelievable.
She's an artist, right? As well.
Yes, and let's not leave out Sound of Music for her.
Oh yeah,
as well. You know, not only. I mean, you know. In one of the most popular films of all time.
And I hear they have a posse. Yeah, they have a reunion, right?
They've reunited a number of times, and every year she leads a tour through Germany and Bavaria of the film sites.
How cool.
Yeah. I mean, who would have guessed?
Yeah.
She's written books, and she makes artwork and designs jewelry. She's really something.
Yeah, and her sister just keeps working. And I believe this is something that I heard that she was in a movie with Jack Nicholson. Going South, is that the name of the movie?
Yeah, I think she was in three films with him.
And I believe they had a little tryst at some point. I believe
Well, she never shared that with me.
Well, maybe
I would love to know.
Allegedly. Let's just say allegedly. Because she...
I don't know.
Yeah.
I would believe it.
Yes. And they were so great in everything they did. I love them both. I did not know she was in Daniel Boone, Veronica. I don't think I've ever seen Daniel Boone.
it wasn't on my list either, but she was also in Witches of Eastwick with Nicholson.
I never saw that film, but I heard she did really great. She got great reviews. I'll have to check
it
out.
You would love it.
Jack Nicholson, Cher, Michelle Pfeiffer, Bette Midler. Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's a really fun film.
I will have to check it out. It should be a comfort film. I want to talk a little bit about I Love Lucy and Keith Thibodeau. Is that how he says his name?
Thibodeau.
And
I believe they changed his name for the show to Richard Keith, I think. You know, any kind of...
exotic name.
that went right out the window, you know. And any ethnic name went out the window.
Except for Ricky Ricardo. So, $500 a week.
Can you believe that?
No.
I playing with a major popular orchestra, going from city to city, he's three. You know, so yeah, he tells this great story about his audition for Little Ricky. You know, and they'd seen just about every boy in L.A., and he walks in, tiny little
so
guy,
cute.
And Lucy says, "Well, he's certainly cute enough, but does he do anything?" And his father said he plays the drums, and Lucy was like, "Oh yeah, right, this tiny little guy." And he sat down at the drums and blew their socks off. You know, Desi came running from across the room, and he said, "That's it, we found little Ricky." So it was instant.
I think it was great, too, because he became best friends with Desi Jr., and he basically was adopted by them. He would spend weekends with them and hang out with Lucy and Desi and play with them. And what a nice – that was very nice, I thought.
And he also – I remember I was in seventh grade, and we were visiting Los Angeles, and we got to go see what was then the Lucy Show being filmed. Mm-hmm. And Keith and Desi were the warm-up act. Instead of having Desi Jr., I mean, instead of having a comedian, as they do mostly now, to warm up the audience, Keith and Desi Jr. performed on the drums and bongos and sang.
How cute.
So I was like 12 and dying inside.
Were you swooning? You know? Swoon. Desi or Nez Jr., as Marsha Brady said. Who's better? I want to be Mrs. Did you dream of being Mrs. Desi or Nez Jr.?
Oh, yeah. Although he was on the list, for sure.
Yeah, I had a lot on my list as well. But that's really cool that you got to see them. And then he, after he left Lucy and he got older, he got into a little trouble, I believe, with drugs a little bit. And he became a born-again Christian.
Yeah. Yeah, he talks about that in his autobiography. And he found his way out of it and is living a happy, crazy life. His wife has a ballet company, and they tour the world, and he's the manager for the company, and you know, they fly everywhere, or at least they were.
He looks great. He looks fabulous.
Yes, really a nice man too.
And he also was on Andy Griffith, because I just saw him the other day. He was on the episode. He was Opie's friend for a while, and it was the episode where Helen Crump makes her appearance, and she's called Old Lady Crump because she's their history teacher and they think she's a beast. And then Andy meets her and he's like, wow, wow, wow. You want to know, this is an alleged, but I believe someone wrote about it, that Andy and Helen Crump actually had a little fling-a-ding-ding while they were doing the show.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you know that?
Now you're making me? No, you're making me gasp now. I had no idea.
I wonder what Aunt Bee thought of that. She was supposed to be a real meanie. They just kind of stayed out of her way.
That's what I hear. Yeah. That's what I hear. Aunt Bee was a bitch.
Yes.
Who would have guessed?
I'm aghast. She and Clara.
Oh, no.
Clara.
We've pulled the veil back on that one.
Yes, definitely. And then, so he was there, and he's doing great. Another one I want to talk about is, we talk about the Lousy Collie, Dick Van Dyke, Larry Matthews. He got to work with them. And who was the one? I think it was Keith Thibodeau who would sit with Ron Howard.
Yes.
And they'd be sitting next to.
They both shot it.
Yeah.
Desi Lou.
Yeah, and they were sitting next to Rob and Laura Petrie or whatever, and they would eat there. I'm like, yummy. Hamburgers, chocolate sodas, and french fries. That was my favorite kid recipe that they had.
Yeah, really.
But they would feel like cool
over Rob and Laura. I mean, it's so cute to hear them say.
Yeah, you know, wow, we look. Like, chomp, chomp. Look who's over there.
It's the Petries.
So they had their son. And he was a lovely little boy, and he grew up to be a very nice man who says he and with his wife, Larry Matthews. He was didn't he also write a memoir?
No, he hasn't yet. And he's another one whose name they changed. He's Sicilian through and through.
Yes.
Larry Mazzio.
You say
and
that.
And he has some... He has some great Italian recipes.
Yum, I was drooling at that. I'm really craving Italian food.
He's very much a foodie and a wine connoisseur.
Yum, sounds fun.
Hopes to live in Italy.
Yes, he and his wife. That was a nice pick. They go there, and she loves it. And they look like he looks like a really happy guy. He said, you know, he's happy. He lives a happy life, and he will continue to live a happy life with his beautiful wife.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy to hear that.
He works he works in post-production, mm-hmm. as so many went behind the camera when their time was over. And Larry said that that was really the only thing he ever did. He got picked for that show. He had the greatest experience with it.
Right. Did he love them? Did he get along with
the group? Every single person he loved. He was very close friends with Mary Tyler Moore's son. Mm-hmm. He still
wasn't his
sees
name Richie
Dick
too?
Van Dyke. I think so, yeah, Richard.
Oh, yeah. He still sees Dick Van Dyke? He looks fabulous, Dick Van Dyke. Still.
Yeah, he still sees Dick Van Dyke. He still talks to Carl Reiner. he sits at, he has Alan Brady's desk.
How cool.
At work, and he sits behind Alan Brady's desk. So, you know, Rosemarie, Maury Amsterdam, and Richard Deacon, every single person.
And Morgan Gilbert, Millie, I loved her, and Jerry Paris. Or was that his name?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
He loved them. He loved them. Annie Gilbert, he always called her. Yes, he adored. He had a perfect time.
And
he
it was
really
such a
did.
Great show. That I watched, too. That's on Netflix, so I still watch. There's episodes I just laugh my head off. They were so cute together.
I adore that show. I still watch that show as well.
What was she, like 22 when she started it, and he was maybe 30 or something? They were such a good-looking couple, really.
I didn't know any moms that looked like that.
No, hubba mom.
In a pair of capri pants.
Nor daddies.
Yeah, she was amazing.
He was pretty cute, too. So I love that show because it has... It's sophisticated comedy, but not too sophisticated. You know, it's very cute, and it's something that you can enjoy, and I love it.
And yet they made their statements. For example, I just watched an episode last week where Rob was sure they brought home the wrong baby.
Oh, that's a riot! Yeah, that was so funny.
And the other couple is Greg Morris and an actress. I'm not sure who that was, but, you know, that this black couple walks in. There was also an episode where he was receiving an award, and he and Laura accidentally dyed their hands black, making a thundercloud outfit for Richie. And they, you know, it was like an NAACP award, and they had black hands, you know. And they wouldn't take their gloves off at the award ceremony, and everyone thought they were kind of stuck up. And then they... had to reveal, you know, so it was still, you know, I mean, it was the 60s and, you know, race riots were happening, and they made their commentary, you know, in a funny way, but they addressed what was going on.
They did. And they also portrayed a married couple in a very realistic way. You know, they were not all, you know, they would have their stupid fights, or he could be, you know, the day when she dyed her hair blonde, halfway blonde, and she couldn't get it done.
Yes.
He's like picking at her hair and seeing grays, and he's dressing like a slob. So she thinks their marriage is like blah. And so she tries to spice it up by dyeing her hair blonde. It's very much Richie's. Good in the show. It's good to have the son because he is there, but it's basically about the adults. But he was very good in that show, and what a luck. If he only had one gig, the Dick Van Dyke show, that's a great one. That's a really
good
one.
And also, you know, also I really loved watching Rosemarie. I mean, I didn't realize that not a lot of women scored jobs like that time. And, you know, she made me not think twice about being able to get any job I could go out for because there were working women.
Yeah, and it was very rare. Yeah. She was a working comedy writer, and always she had trouble with her love life because she was outgoing and successful, but she had her cat. And then she went out with some Herman dude, and that was her boyfriend for a long time, some schlub. But she was great. Maury Amsterdam and his wife Pickles, who's like 20 feet taller than him. It's such a great show. And it's on Netflix,
it really
everybody.
Is. I just love it.
Not Netflix. I'm sorry. It's on Amazon Prime. And I think it has every season.
I think it's on MeTV as well.
Yeah. I believe it does show on MeTV. which most of these do. And it's really, you know, it's just such a great show. I still laugh. I still laugh at it. Okay, let's talk about our little devil, Eddie Munster. Butch Patrick.
Ah, Butchie.
Yes.
Butch, I'm so proud of Butch. I'm so proud of Butch. Butch is a great guy. You know, Butch also went through his trials and tribulations.
Yes, I remember reading
Hollywood.
About them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was pretty well known. And literally, Grace, he almost died. You know, he was on the road to doing himself some real harm with drugs and alcohol. And he is now clean and sober for a decade.
Good for him.
And, you know, living a wonderful life and has become so creative and so bright. Wonderful ideas that he has come up with since he's sober. He is just really a poster child for cleaning up your act and how great your life can be afterward.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be 20, 30, 40. Our lives can get better after 40, 50, because people think, oh, we can't change. We can always do better. We can change. We can grow. We can learn. And he did. And he came out the other side and doing great. And that's fabulous. You don't stop living or giving up. You know, you have to keep pushing it here. You know, life is lovely.
And I love his story. I love his story in the book. A lot of people don't remember what a huge hit the Flintstones were when that first came out. It was the first primetime cartoon.
I still watch
for
it.
For adults.
Yeah, I still watch it. Stoney Curtis and Margrock. Love it.
Yes, come on. You know, my parents loved it, too. You know, it was based on the Honeymooners.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
very
What wasn't to love? And it quickly became the favorite show in Butch's house. And they were not allowed to watch television during dinner except for the Flintstones. And so every Wednesday night, out came the TV trays. Mom made tacos.
Yum, yum.
And Dad hurried home from work to sit with the family, which was another thing about this period. You know, many people only had one TV. And so the whole family got together to watch the same shows. And his dad had just purchased a new Cadillac, and it was too big for their garage. So, he could set his watch by when Dad's bumper hit the wall in the garage. It was time for the Flintstones. Yabba-dabba-doo.
Oh, I love it. How did he like? Did he get? How was his experience working on the Munsters? I didn't know it was only two seasons.
Yeah, maybe three. Is it only two?
Yeah.
He had a great time. He told me something I didn't know. Bill Mumy was up for that part.
Wow. I don't think he would have looked good with the with that little his little widow's peak. Yeah, werewolf head.
That's why Bill's mom turned it down. She didn't want him in a costume because he was doing very well. You know, just appearing as himself. So Bill's mom turned it down, and it went to Butch. And he had a wonderful time. Again, loved the cast. Loved Yvonne. Loved Fred. Appeared with Grandpa endlessly at autograph shows.
He lived a long, long time.
Yeah, the mean ones last a long time.
I guess so. That's the truth, isn't it? A lot of meanies.
Grandpa wasn't so nice.
Well, he was quite the character. Yeah.
Yes, he really was.
Al Lewis.
Al Lewis. And Butch still appears with Pat Priest, who was Marilyn Munster.
She was the second Marilyn, right?
Yes, the second Marilyn. And she's a hoot. She's a wonderful lady.
She was on Mary Tyler Moore show as Sue Ann's sister, which I love that episode. Her little pretty southern sister from the south, and they all like fall over her, all the men. And Sue Ann's very jealous. And she was good. She was good on that. playing Sue Ann Niven's sister.
She's a pretty lady. She still looks great. Marilyn.
Yes.
Marilyn Munster.
Okay, I think we should do one more, and I'm trying to think of who we should do. Should we do Greg Brady? How about that? Barry Williams.
Sure.
Barry Williams.
Now, he was someone that I did not know that well, as compared to everybody else in the book. He was, I had met him on a couple of occasions, and you can't do classic TV without the Brady Bunch.
Oh, no.
So I called him, and he was such a delightful person. So, again, you know, it's this generation, even though he's had tremendous longevity from that show. I mean, the Brady Bunch just never goes away.
No, they did. I think he directed the Brady movie, and then they did the Brady Brides, and then they did that one that was supposed to be a drama about the Bradys, and Marcia is an alcoholic, and he's a doctor, and all this other stuff. So he did
and
a lot.
Last season on HGTV, they just did, they remodeled the Brady Bunch home.
All of them? The six of them?
Yeah. And it was, several episodes of going to the original home and recreating the Brady Bunch set. Exactly. So, I mean, he still works because of that show. And again, no big ego, couldn't have been more generous. We spent a lot of time on the phone laughing. And I was very charmed by him. He's really a sweetheart.
He sounds like a doll.
And I hear that. Yes, it's what I hear from most people. So it was really a delight. And he loves to cook. He's more like John and me. The guy does the cooking and the lady does the cleaning up. So So he and his wife worked for weeks on a recipe for Mediterranean chicken.
Really yummy.
Experimented. Mm. Yeah, they just experimented. Try a little of this. Oh, no, we don't like that so much. Let's try something else. And they had the hardest time writing it down. So they really had to go to a great effort for me, and I was so appreciative.
Yeah, it is, because when you cook, like me, somebody asked me how I make some sauce or something like that, and I don't, I don't measure. I just, with the things I cook that I know that I can cook, I just do. So I can't really write out a recipe that would be like my exact food, but he did it, and he's not, and he wrote, I loved his book, Growing Up Brady.
Yes, he's really a talented man. I think I'm not sure if he still lives in Branson. He was performing there for years.
Oh, good for him. I know he did some Broadway. He did some musical theater. He did a lot of stuff. So, and he's still going, and he looks very handsome.
Yeah, he's in great shape.
He looks terrific, and he seems to be happily married. And did he like his time on the Brady Bunch, or did he think they were, like, goofy? You know, because they were, like, you look back at it, they did potato sack races and stuff. He's like 20 doing a potato sack race. But, like you said, it keeps him paid, and he's been, still getting moolah from that show today because of that show.
You know, one of the things I point out in Jeannie Russell's chapter, she played Margaret on Dennis the Menace.
Yeah.
Because you do learn through the book what it was like to be a working kid actor. And, Jeannie hit about 15. And, you had to have a lot of extra people on the set if you were a minor.
Yeah.
A parent, a welfare worker, a teacher. So now you're paying three salaries to have this one child on the set. So unless you were the star, you risked being replaced by somebody who was 18 but could look younger and could play 15. So, which is what happened to a lot of the kids who were the friend of the star.
Right.
So, Greg being 20 saved them a bundle. And, you know, that was the thing. If you were there to play younger, you know, you played it.
But that's why a lot of times the star, a lot of child stars, they get the kids that are very bright. They're older than they look. They tend, you know, they're short. Look at the girl on Family Affair, the poor little girl who died of a drug overdose. The one who played Buffy.
Yeah, Anissa Jones.
Yeah.
Anissa Jones.
And I think she was like 14 and 15. She was holding Mrs. Beasley and she's 14 years old or, you know, and wearing those stupid curls with Jody, Buffy and Jody. And, you know, that's what they did. And then by the time I think she only grew to be about 4'10", but even more so for the guys, if they didn't get tall or whatever. And some of them, you know, they're just... I met Mason Reese on one of my podcasts with a friend of mine who went to school with him. And he, you know, he was a character, you know.
He is a character. He still is.
He still is, yes. And there's so many great people, Lori. There is Alison Arngrim. There's some Walton peeps. I loved Mary Ellen. What's Happening? Oh, the Little Boy from Julia, which was a groundbreaking television show starring Diane Carroll.
Yes.
And what was his kid's name? Mark something. His name?
Mark Kopaj.
Yeah. Good. And he was friends with Diane, and he loved to go to her house. And she was very...
Yeah.
Yeah, she would give him, you know, like, good treats that you don't want. They would give him bazooka, and she would give him, like, carob. Okay, let's see. Let's eat some trail mix. I want you to eat better. But he loved her, and he
adored her.
He looks great. He looks adorable, and that's pretty huge to be a part. She was the first Black woman to star in her own series, and she played a professional, not a maid. She played a nurse.
Yes,
and she was absolutely beautiful, and I believe she won an Emmy. I think she was the first woman either nominated for an Emmy, Black woman, or winning an Emmy, or one of those things. So it was a very groundbreaking series. I don't think they ever replay it. I don't know if I've ever watched it, but it was something. So he really had a part of something big, and he should always be proud of that. And he seems to be.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, and that is something Jeannie Russell said at the end of her chapter, which I loved. You know, she said, you know, let people say, you know, I'm a has-been, but I was part of classic TV history. I am a part of the tribe, and nobody can take that away from
me. No, and she isn't a husband.
I just love that.
That is great. Love that. And the tribe. I love how they call themselves the tribe. And they are. They know each other. They've been through the same things. And I love the fact you all will just love reading this, how great. And so many wonderful friendships that endured, you know, because I left a lot out because, you know, we're doing an hour here. So, and you also have to buy her book. She has a lot of really good stories and great recipes. And please don't eat marshmallow fluff.
and there's over 150 photos.
Oh, great photos.
And their scrapbooks. So you see them at birthday parties when they were 9 and 10.
So cute.
And you see them now together at parties.
And they look fabulous. So. Oh, that must be so much fun. Tell all of them thank you for all the wonderful moments they give me still when I watch, like, Leave It to Beaver or Dick Van Dyke or the Brady. Well, Greg Brady's not part of your posse because I guess he was the 70s and John is more whatever. You don't really know a lot of the 70s people as well as you know the others, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, yes. Well, I know the 70s people and Allison and
She's something
Rodimus
else.
Pura.
Allison. Oh, he's a cutie. Yes. And Allison is a hoot. Her book was so funny.
And the Waltons. By then I was out in California and studying to be an actress. And I had an inn on the Walton set and I went there quite often to see how a real TV show was shot. So I have been friends with those kids. Oh, my goodness. 40 years or
wow.
something.
Wow. She looks beautiful. I always loved her, Judy, and I loved her as Mary Ellen. I thought she was wonderful. Any behind-the-scenes scoop on John Boy? Come on, Dish.
No.
Nothing.
No. God, he is cute. No, he was very seriously involved with a lady who was his first wife at that time. And they were trying to get pregnant. I believe they had a son and then triplets.
Yes.
Yes. But I do remember one day on the set, one of the crew guys, he was Richard Thomas was discussing how it was difficult to get pregnant, and the crew guy said, "Okay, this is what you have to do. You have to make this special dinner. You have to put a fire in the fireplace. You have to chill a bottle of champagne." And Richard is like, "Yeah, yeah." And the crew guy said, "And then call me." And they, you know, he was such a good-natured young man. Like, one day, everyone on the set came to work with a mole on their face.
No. Poor guy.
He finally noticed it on one person and started, and then he turned around and realized every single person.
Even grandma and grandpa. That's a riot.
And that was enough. You know, that's another set where everybody loved everybody.
Yeah, they still
They've
get together
stayed
and
in
they're
touch.
They're family.
Yeah.
I think that's so wonderful. One thing I have to say, I was at Whole Foods, and I believe he was doing a Broadway show, and he was in front of me in line, and I got into the Waltons like a goof about 10 years ago, and I'm just a late bloomer in all these things. Anyway, I always thought John Boy was sort of like a John Boy. And he was so cute. He looked so young, and he was adorable. I wanted to, I was making eye contact with him, and he was so cute. Growl, John Boy.
Yeah, he was. And such a fine actor, too.
Yes, I like him so much. And I feel sorry for the second John Boy who came in. And I don't know. I guess they had to put a mole on him. I don't know. But he was injured in the war. Or I think, whatever, he was in Paris and he got injured. So he had all these bandages on. And out came the new John Boy. And that must have been very hard for him. The new John Boy. Oh, dear. And a mole. But his mole did not come off. His face changed dramatically. His voice.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah. Yes. It was bad. You know, the end episodes when they should have kind of hung it up a little bit. But I loved it. And I love your book. It was so great seeing all these people. It was so fun hearing their stories. Seeing how cute they were when they were little. What they ate. Chili dogs. Big time. One other kid from one of the guys loved to have Campbell's tomato soup with chopped hot dogs in it.
Right. Ernest Thomas.
Yes, What's Happening. Yeah. And he's doing a lot of great stuff, too. So there's so many wonderful people in the book. We touched on maybe 10. And she has tons of wonderful stories. These recipes look really good. And if I had someone to cook them, I clean up, but I don't. So hence,
some of them are very easy.
Yes, they are. There are a couple
for
that are really
cooking,
easy.
Yeah, because for us cooking impaired people.
Oh, I'm a good cook. I just hate to do it. When I was married, I cooked almost every night, except for night we go out to dinner, we get pizza, whatever. And I just cook too much. But I'm a good cook, and I loved to cook, but now I don't anymore. I'm all cooked out.
Well, you're allowed.
Good. Anyway, Lori, I love you. I love talking to you. I want
Thank
you on
you,
whenever
Grace.
You can come on to tell me all your experiences. But I really enjoyed this book because I got it. And, the pandemic had started. And it just was such a nice, I think I had my little blanket on and I'm reading it and I just loved it. And I laughed and I loved seeing the pictures and it brought back so many wonderful memories and gave me a lot of...
Yeah, it takes you back.
Yeah, and it just gave me a lot of insight into things I never knew. And I thought it was great. And I love the book.
Aww.
Really.
Thank you, sweetie.
And I love you.
And if
you.
I can just... if I can just squeak in there, it's on Amazon. It's at my publisher's tvdinnersbook.com. You can go to my website, lauriejacobson.com. And you can email me there if you want a signed copy. I'll send it out from my home. And it's on the Target website. It's all over. So I hope some of your listeners will get it and enjoy.
And have a hot dog while you're reading it, right?
There you go.
Or macaroni and cheese, or whatever you like, because it is, and get cozy and settle in, and you will love it. It'll just bring back wonderful memories, and you'll be so happy to see them today, and they're all looking good, and they're all doing good, and that makes me very happy to see that as well. So I enjoyed it. It was just, you know, a really nice, fun read for me. I loved
it. Thank you, sweetie.
You are welcome.
I appreciate it.
Also, you can get Lori's other books. She does. I want you to come in and talk about your ghosts someday, your ghost book. Hauntings,
oh,
Hollywood hauntings.
Okay. Let's do a Halloween show.
I would love that. I usually do a Halloween show. So you're booked for this year. You're my Halloween, which I call my spook.
Alrighty.
I call it my spooktacular. I drive people crazy because then I go, wow. But it's a spooktacular. This would really be a spooktacular if you came on. And you also have that wonderful book that you made, and it is called A Dishing. Full name of your, I have it written down, but I don't have it with me. And I've read it, and I read it a couple of times. I loved it. I bought it when it came out, and then I reread it when I had you on the show. And so it's Dishing Hollywood.
Dishing Hollywood. It's scandals and mysteries, and with a recipe attached to each story.
Which is kind of morbid, but fabulous. Like after dinner drinks or whatever. The Inger Stevens one, you make the sandwich she was making when she, well, you don't think she killed herself.
When she, no, most definitely a woman was murdered.
We never got into that, but we have to another time get into Inger.
Okay.
Inger, because it's a fascinating story. And Burt Reynolds, really, she was married to a black man no one knew, which was truly scandalous. Lots of stuff. Poor Ingrid. But if you're in who she is, a lot of people will know her because she did one of my favorite Twilight Zones, The Hitchhiker.
Oh, yes.
She was fabulous in that, but she did lots of great stuff. Anyway, Lori.
She did.
You are wonderful. Tell John I said, woof, woof. And, and you know, thank everybody. And thank you for putting the book together because it was such a great, fun read for me.
Thank you, sweetie.
You
I'm
are
so grateful.
Welcome. You're welcome. Thanks. I love you. Talk to you
soon.
Love
you too, baby.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.